الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, the month of Rajab has just completed and we have entered into the blessed month of Sha'ban. This entire period, as we approach Sayyid al-Shuhur, the leader of the months of the Islamic calendar, the Mubarak and the blessed month of Ramadan, this entire period is a very Mubarak period, as can be evidenced from the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us at the onset of the month of Rajab: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, O Allah, bless us in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to remain alive to experience the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, as an ummah, when it comes to our aspects of ibadat, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have to analyze and look at the general mindset, to a very large extent as an ummah we have become ritualistic in our ibadat. As we can see just now, this masjid will be full right till the back. The next salah after the salah of Asr, the masjid will be empty. Few nights ago was Laylatul Mi'raj, 27th of Rajab. Clearly, in the environment, you could see a change. Sometimes days before, people were preparing themselves mentally that, listen, that certain night for Isha Salah, I have to be in the masjid. Likewise, with Shab-e Barat that is coming. What we fail to realize is that these occasions of clemency and mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whether it is Shab-e Barat, whether it is Shab-e Qadr, whether it is this entire period as taught to us by this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not there so that we worship Allah only on these occasions. In fact, to have that kind of mindset, then on a big night or on Jummah I'll make Salah, other times I won't, this is in fact making mockery, mazak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These periods are given to us, my respected brothers, for us to reflect, for us to take stock, not for our ibadat to be seasonal. Each one of us, when Rajab started, we were taught this dua, we heard, the pamphlets went around, we were reminded in the various masajid, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. What was the requirement of that? The requirement of that, my respected brothers, was to look to your left and your right and think that last year Rajab, last year Sha'ban, last year Ramadan, that uncle, that friend, that relative, that family member of mine that was sitting right next to me, this year is not with me. And then to ask ourselves this question: How many opportunities Allah has given us every year that is recurring? What change have we brought about in our lives? Have we made sincere tawbah? Or is it going to continually be this cycle that certain occasions we'll come to the masjid, make ibadat, etc., and then we lapse back into the mode that we were living in before? These occasions, my respected brothers, are given to us to reflect, to take the sabak, to take the lesson. Mi'raj that passed, most of our masajid,
on that night would have been full. We would have heard great detail about the actual Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what the tragedy, the malady that faces the ummah today is that the haqaiq, the reality, the asbaq, the lessons, what we are supposed to revisit, that totally and completely to a very large extent escapes us. By way of example, this occasion of Jumu'ah, wallah, my respected brothers, it is impossible to even scratch the surface, whether it is Mi'raj, whether it is Shab-e Barat, whatever it may be. But just by way of example, what are the lessons? For example, on the one side, on the one, great lessons the ummah can learn, but the justaju, the curiosity, the concern, that is not there in us to a large extent. On the one side, many muarikhin were of the opinion that this Mi'raj formed consolation. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what greater testimony can there be to the extent that he suffered for you and I? To the extent of qurbani and sacrifice that he gave for da'wat and tabligh. Where himself he says, Udhitu fillah ma lam yudha ahad, ukhiftu fillah ma lam yakhaf ahad. وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَوْمِ وَلَيْلَةٍ مَا لِي وَلِبِلَالٍ مَا يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِي بِهِ إِبْتُ بِلَالٍ. وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, I suffered for da'wat and tabligh in the way of Allah, for you and I to get hidayat and iman. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I suffered more than any human being ever suffered. I was made to fear more than any human being ever feared. And to give a glimpse of the faqa, of the hunger that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent for our sake, he says, they passed upon me and Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu 30 consecutive days, 1 month, and there wasn't sufficient for both of us to eat besides what Bilal radiallahu anhu could conceal underneath his armpits. That level of faqa, yet the persecution increased. To the extent that ulama say, many muarikhin of the opinion, this Mi'raj was a consolation. Certain great milestones of persecution, of qurbani, of sacrifice occurred in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to this journey. One was the demise of Abu Talib. We hear this year in and year out. But my respected brothers, today it is a reality. Majority of us, this iman which Allah blessed us with, we got it in the lap of our mothers. We didn't choose to be Muslim. Allah gave us miftahul jannah, the key to jannah in our hands. But just travel a little bit, travel to Malawi, travel to our neighboring countries, travel to Mozambique, travel throughout Africa, and see how on a daily basis this iman is being sold in the marketplace. Today it's no longer a guarantee you are born Muslim, you are going to die Muslim. Unfortunately, we have this mindset. We take iman for granted. What price tag are we going to put on this ni'mat of Allah? Abu Talib, his whole life he served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many signs Allah gave him? By way of example, Allama Suyuti rahimullah, in his Qasais al-Kubra, he mentions one incident that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a 12-year-old boy, there was a trade expedition that left from Makkah for Syria. Abu Talib took the young Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nephew, with him. On the way, they passed by an area where there was a person known as Buhayra. Buhayra the Rahib, in other words, the ascetic or the monk. This was a man who had built his soma'a, his worship place, in a tree. And for years, devoted himself exclusively to the ibadat of Allah. He had not been seen in public, not interacted with anyone. When the qafila of the Quraysh, when the caravan of the Quraysh camps near his area, all of a sudden Buhayra comes out and he sends an invitation for meals to this caravan. The news spreads far and wide. People are stupefied. They are shocked, astonished. Someone who has not been seen in public for years is inviting you people. What is so special about you? Obviously, they look forward to the occasion. They left the little boy Muhammad to look after the camels. Buhayra came out. The moment he looked amongst them, he couldn't find the boy. Straight away he asked the question, where is the youngster? They said, we left him behind to look after the camels. He said, you fools, it is because of that youngster I invited you. Send for the youngster. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, as was the norm in a desert climate, especially in the middle of the day, shade is rare. So whatever little shade there was had already been taken. There was only space for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sit in the direct glare of the sunlight. The moment he sat in the glare of the sunlight, the clouds moved. The clouds moved to create shade and cover the body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 12-year-old boy, Buhayra looked at this. He addressed them. He said, "Have all of you seen what happened? This boy didn't pass a single tree except that tree made sajda to him. He didn't pass a stone except that it greeted him. This is exactly what would happen to the previous Anbiya alayhimus salam." Then he asked them the question, "Who is this youngster?" Abu Talib stood up and said, "This is my son." Buhayra said, "You are a liar. My scriptures have revealed to me that the father of this child passed away before he was born." Abu Talib said, "Yes, he is my nephew, but this is the important thing." What does Abu Talib say? "I love him more than my own son. I love him more than my own son." Buhayra said that if you continue with this journey with this youngster, I fear the Jews will see the same signs I saw and they may try to harm him. Take him back to Makkah. Like this, there were many signs. The Quraysh of Makkah approach Abu Talib. What is the request? Stop your nephew from what he is doing. What did they have a problem with? They didn't have a problem with his ibadat. He used to worship Allah Ta'ala for days on end in Ghar Hira, in the cave of Hira, before Nubuwwat. Sometimes his food would run out. Khadija radiallahu anha would carry supplies to him. They had no problem with that. They loved him. They revered him. They said, "Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, the truthful one, the trustworthy one." What did they have a problem with? They had a problem with his da'wat. With his going person to person, calling them to Allah. That which today the ummah regards as the work of one group or one organization. MashaAllah, if few people are doing it, it is not my responsibility. Abu Talib's approach, "Stop your nephew or else we are not going to accept your protection for him. Na'uzubillah, we are going to kill him." Abu Talib, concern, love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sends for his nephew. "Oh my nephew, I beseech you, stop this da'wat, stop this invitation, or else I fear I will not be able to protect you." What is the response? Those of you and I that feel that da'wat and tabligh, mashallah, is good, but not my responsibility. Listen with the ears of iman to the reaction of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the request of Abu Talib. What was his request? "I cannot protect you. They will kill you if you don't stop. What is his response? "Ma ana bi aqdar min an ada ma bu'ithtu bihi min an yush'ila ahadukum min hadhihi ash-shamsi shu'latan nar." He said, "Oh my uncle, it is easier for me to countenance taking a coal of fire in my hand and my whole body burning. That is easier for me than to abandon calling my ummah to Allah." When Abu Talib sees this, sees the determination, what does he say? "Fasda bi amrik lam tusibka sababatun wa laqad sadaqta wa qad kunta qablu amina wa laqad alimtu bi anna deena Muhammad min khayri adyanil bariyati deena lawla al malamatu hadara masabbatin lawajadtani samihan bidhaka mubina." Allahu Akbar. He says, continue with what you are doing. No harm will come to you. You have always been truthful. Who is saying this? Abu Talib. And then Abu Talib, we want to know how valuable iman is. We want to know how valuable iman is. Listen to this. He says, "I know in my heart that the deen of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts and the mocking of the women of Quraysh, then out of the fear of old age or death, which had become imminent, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers. I would have openly recited your kalima." Allahu Akbar. Right to the last moment, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried. He begged his uncle. He said, "Say it in my ears, Uhajju bika inda Allah. I will argue for you in Allah's court." Yet, iman, how valuable is this? Abu Talib says, finally, his last words, "Ala deeni Abdul Muttalib, I am dying on the religion of Abdul Muttalib." What was the consequence? What was the consequence? "Inna ahwana ahli an-nari adaban la rajulun yudaw fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be a person in Jahannam. There will be a person in Jahannam. Two coals of Jahannam will be placed underneath his feet. Such is the intensity of the heat of these two coals. "Yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu." His brains will start boiling. مَا يَرَىٰ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُ عَذَابًا. He will be suffering such pain, that this person will think to himself, there is no one in Jahannam suffering like how I am suffering. And yet, what is the reality? وَإِنَّهُ لَأَهْوَنْهُمْ عَذَابًا. صَادِقُ الْمَسْدُوقُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم says, there is no lighter punishment than this in Jahannam. This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. This will be given to Abu Talib today. Somebody who devoted his life to welfare work. Somebody who devoted his life to helping humanity. Somebody who on instances showed good akhlaq and character. When that person dies on kufr, then what do we do? How can he go to Jahannam? How can he go to Jahannam? So much welfare work, such a good person he was. Understand, my respected brothers. Understand, my respected brothers, there is no greater zulm, there is no greater crime, there is no greater oppression, worse than murder, worse than zina, worse than looting, worse than whatever you want. Ayyu dhambi akbar. My Nabi was asked, what is the greatest sin a man can commit? He said, al-ishraku billah, to make shirk with Allah. To make partners with Allah, to make shirk with Allah, to die on kufr is the worst crime. Welfare work, goodness of the person, afterwards, first iman is the condition. Whatever welfare work he did, if he died on kufr, Allah will recompense him in this world. But in the akhirat, when it comes to the system of Allah, Allah's sunnat in Jahannam, khalidina fiha abada, he will remain in Jahannam forever and ever. Abu Talib, what greater service didn't he do? His whole life he served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is sabak. This is lesson for you and I. Don't fall into a trap. Understand the value. Understand the value of iman. No price tag can be put on iman. On the one hand, the demise of Abu Talib. The other hand, the demise of that mountain of support, Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. On the other hand, the incident of Taif. All this had piled up. So the heavens were decorated. He was in the home of Umm Hani radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the elder sister of Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Malaika presented themselves. They took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Khatim, the section, the semicircular section outside the Kaaba, that is in fact part of the Kaaba. They made him lay down, and for the second or third time in his life, open heart surgery took place. Without an operating theater, without any surgeon's instruments, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was opened, the heart was taken out. He was looking at this. He was looking at this taking place. A bowl was brought from Jannat. In it was Zamzam. The heart was bathed in Zamzam. In another bowl, according to the riwayat, was Iman and Hikmat. Noor. Iman and Hikmat. The heart was cut open. This Iman and Hikmat was poured into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The heart was placed back in the chest. What? 14 centuries ago, perhaps they doubted this. Perhaps they found this shocking. Yet, with the advancement of medical science, in this is Ishara, through the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that open heart surgery will become a possibility in the future. Likewise, travel at supersonic speeds. Buraq, what it comes in the riwayat, one step as far as the eye can see. That time, perhaps they didn't understand it. This time it was made easy. That is why no surah in the Quran begins with this expression, Subhan. Subhan. Subhan alladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al harami ila al masjid al aqsa. What does Subhan mean? Allah is Pak. Allah is pure. Medical science is for you and I. The restrictions of it are for you and I. When the chest is cut open, the blood starts pouring out. That is for you and I. You need a ventilating machine. That is for you and I. Heart taken out, conditions attached to that, for you and I. Likewise, speed, you and I. Space, you and I. Time, you and I. Allah is above all this. Allah is above all this. Through His Qudrat, He took His Habib from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, through the seven heavens, brought right in front of Allah, brought back. When He comes back, His bed is as warm as if no one left it. This entire epic journey takes place in such a condition where Allah stops time. Subhan, Allah is above time. Allah is above any of the restrictions. Atmospheric pressure, 1 ton, 102.4 kPa, is is upon each one of us. Each one of us has approximately one ton of atmospheric pressure on us to mitigate the effect of that, so that we don't get crushed inside. Allah has created pressure to cancel out the effect of the outside pressure. As a human being rises up, atmospheric pressure gets less. So the inside pressure is now more than what is outside. What should happen? The body should explode. So what they do, they give a space suit, an astronaut's outfit, so that it creates the image of that outward pressure so that the body doesn't explode. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his kurta and his lungi, without any astronaut outfit, carried through the seven heavens. Why didn't his body explode? Subhan, Allah is above all that. Allah is above any of the systems of this world, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Interestingly, that night, the one who used to look after the door, the doorkeeper of Masjid al-Aqsa, tries to close the door. The door will not close. He sends for the carpenter. He sends for the head padri. The carpenter says, the wood on top has become dislodged. That is why the door is not meeting. Tomorrow morning I'll fix it up. The door will close. The padri says, no. It's got nothing to do with the wood. This is the night that the final Nabi will come here. And in his ikram, this door is not being allowed to be closed. He's being left open. He will make imamat of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Tomorrow morning you'll find the door will close automatically without any putting the wood right or anything like that. That same padri, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out the emissaries many years later, letters of dawah, he accepted iman and his people made him shaheed. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, imamat of Anbiya carried through the seven heavens. First heaven, Adam alayhi salam. Second heaven, Yahya and Isa alayhi salam. According to one riwayat, Zakaria alayhi salam also. Third heaven, Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salam. Fifth heaven, Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Beyond that, like I said, time is very limited. He came to the point, Sidratul Muntaha. Muntaha means the end point. Jibreel's malakutiyat, malaika's malakutiyat came to an end. Every aspect of the creation of Allah came to an end. At that point, Sidratul Muntaha. No creation of Allah had been beyond this point. Jibreel says, if I go one hair's breadth beyond this point, I also will be burnt to ashes. Permission is given for one only, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go beyond this point also, the Sidratul Muntaha. Qazi Ayaz, in his Shifa, he mentions the riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Faraqani Jibreel. Jibreel left me. Wan qata'atil aswat. There was total, complete silence. He had reached a point no creation of Allah had ever been. Obviously there is darkness. Obviously there is silence. What happens? Naturally, he was insan. He was a human being. An element of fear enters the heart. All of a sudden, what happens? فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. I heard the voice of my Allah. I heard the kalam of my Rabb addressing me. لِيَهْدَأْ رَوْعُكْ. Do not fear. Let your fear be calmed. لِيَهْدَ رُوْعُكْ يَا حَبِيبِ أُدْنُ. O my beloved, venture even further. Venture even further. In other words, even beyond that point, kamale qurb. That qurb with Allah, that words are qasir. Words cannot describe that maqam Allah takes him to. When Allah speaks of that maqam, when Allah, conversation takes place, various riwayat, time is limited. One narration, Ya Rabbi, ittakhadhta Ibrahima khalila, wa ataytahu mulkan azima, wa ataytah Dawood mulkan azima, wa alanta lahu al-hadid, wa ataytah Sulaiman mulkan, la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di, wa sakharta lahu al-jinna wal-insa wal-riyaha wal-shayateen, wa ahyayta li Isa al-mawta, wa kallamta Musa taklima, famaadha ja'alta li. He says, oh my Rabb, he enumerates the special fadail of the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salam. In brief words, Adam Safiullah, Musa Kalimullah, Isa Ruhullah, Ibrahim Khalilullah, Sulaiman alayhi salam, a kingdom like no one ever received, Dawood alayhi salam, let soften for him. All this is mentioned. فَمَاذَا جَعَلْتَ لِي. Oh my Allah, what have you kept for me?
awalaysa. Allah addresses him, awalaysa qad ataytuka afdala min dhalika kullihi. Have I not given you better than all this? Have I not given you better than all this? Adam safiullah, Isa ruhullah, Musa kalimullah. Amma anta, you fahabibullah, you are the beloved of Allah. You are Allah's mahbub, you are Allah's beloved. Wa Allah dhukirt illa dhukirta ma'i. And from now till qiyamah, my name will not be taken except that your name will be taken with my name. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, yunada bihi fi jawi sama, maktubun fi Tawrat, Muhammadun Habibur Rahman. Such fadail. Yet when Allah refers to this, when Allah refers to this in the Quran, what does Quran tell us? Subhanalladhi asra. Glory be to Allah who took, made Isra, Mi'raj. What is Mi'raj? Isra, ulama says, the first part of the journey. Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then is Uruj. Mi'raj. Mi'raj means what? Ascension. Maqam, status, nobility, height, such height. No Nabi reached this. This was that mu'ajiza which clearly illustrated his status over the galaxy of Anbiya. This is the greatest of Allah's creation, clearly shown in Mi'raj. Logically, what should the word have been? When Allah refers to this, logically, what it should have been? Subhanalladhi asra bi rasulihi, bi habibihi, bi nabiyihi, bi imam al-anbiya. This is what it should have been. Yet Quran does not refer to that. Quran doesn't say Habibullah. Quran doesn't say Imamul Anbiya. Quran doesn't say Khatamul Nabiyeen. What does Quran say? Bi'abdihi. 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 Allah took his slave. Allah took his slave. Ghulam. This defies logic. It doesn't make sense that this word abd should be here. What is the sabak? What is the lesson? What is the ishara? If you want uruj, if you want ascension, if you want to reach right till the arsh of Allah, Ghulam-e-Muhammad ban jao. Ghulam-e-Muhammad ban jao. You will find it in the ghulami. You will find it in the ghulami, in the abdiyat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because his abdiyat, may yuti'ir rasul faqad ata Allah. If you want to obey Allah, you have to obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to obey Allah, you have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Allama Iqbal puts it beautifully, ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to hum tere hai, ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to hum tere hai, ye jahan cheez hai kya, lo qalam tere hai. Allahu Akbar. Adopt the wafadari, become elite, show your allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Cry tears of blood when on Juma you see youngsters with no sign of sunnah, when even on Juma t-shirts emblazoned. Some sports personality, some music personality. For useless tournaments. This ummah will spend millions. Journeys will be undertaken. Why some sports tournament? 22 people kicking a piece of pigskin. When the results are already bought off, my respected brothers, where is the justification? In this age of digital media, where daily, we are being shown graphic images of our brothers and sisters suffering. Of young babies with no food to eat. Of the little babies of the ummah of Iman crying on the laps of their mothers. Of their bodies being charred to ashes. Where is the justification for this type of extravagance? What excuse are we going to give in Allah's court? Are we blind? Are we deaf? Are we totally oblivious to the plight of the ummah? Adopt the wafadari of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his allegiance, in his road, in his way of life. Yet jahan cheez hai kya, lo qalam tere hai. Like Allama Iqbal says, what is this world? Nothing. Allah will give you the pen of taqdeer. Write down your own taqdeer. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Bi abdihi. If you want uruj, if you want ascension, if you want maqam, if you want status, if you want the whole kainat to be shrunk for you, you will find it in the ghulami of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This much sabak take. Ramadan is coming. Mi'raj has already passed. Shab-e-Qadr, Shab-e-Barat is coming. This much sabak take. If a police officer walks in here, he will not have to introduce himself. You just look at him, you know, this is a police officer from his uniform. This much sabak take. Wherever we go, we don't have to introduce ourselves. Someone just looking at us, this is Ghulam-e-Muhammad. This is the slave or the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like I said, time is limited. My respected brother, somebody goes for 40 days. Somebody goes for 4 months in the path of Allah. Somebody goes in some journey, some holiday, whatever it is. When he is returning, the whole family is excited. The little children also are excited, waiting for what? Waiting for what? What is their anticipation? What is their excitement? They are looking in the suitcase. Kya hadiya lekar aaya? Kya hadiya lekar aaya? What gift did he bring? What gift did he bring? This is what they await. This is human psyche, mentality. Allah took his Habib. Allah took his Habib through the seven heavens beyond the Sidratul Muntaha. Kamal al-Qurb. What did he bring back? What was the hadiya? What was the gift? Allahu Akbar, my respected brothers, this ummah by its own hand has taken an axe and is striking directly at its own foot. When the azan is called out, we are being summoned 5 times every day to that position where from Allahu Akbar till Salam, by the Qasam of my Allah, this entire kainat is shrunk. You are introduced directly in Allah's court. Spiritually, your miraj is taking place 5 times every day. You are communicating directly with Allah. What possible problem, or what possible difficulty, or what possible dukh, or what possible calamity of this world can we ever have which Allah has not kept the solution in salah to? Such a bridge, such a medium our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought back from miraj. He gave us that instrument by which we will be able to present our problems directly in Allah's court. What harm we are causing ourselves. What harm we are causing ourselves when in the time of Fajr that azan falls on deaf ears. When in the time of Zuhr we are busy in our businesses. When the time of Asr we are locking up our shops. When in the time of Maghrib we are running behind some schedule at home. And the time of Isha in front of the shaitan box. What is the damage that this ummah is causing to itself? That hadith which I mentioned in the beginning. What did my Nabi say? Al-ahdul ladhi baynana wa baynahumus salah. Faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The defining distinction between iman and kufr is salah. The defining distinction between iman and kufr is salah. A mu'min will not let that azan fall on deaf ears. فَمَن تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. My Nabi said, the one who will abandon his salah has committed kufr. Allah protect us. Sabak, lesson, what is the hadiya? Accept that. And make this determination that from now till I die, not one salah I will make qaza. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir.